The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Do not adjust your sets. We control the horizontal. We control the vertical. But we can't control the goddamned engines and we're still stuck in orbit! Hello everybody and welcome to the Gorecast on this brand new year of 2024. How the fuck are we still alive? Anyway, we are back to brighten up
it's so questionable.
Yeah. We are back to brighten up your screens. Ha! Celebrate, rejoice! Ha! And to kick things off, we thought that we would take a look at our top bits from 2023, both in regards to news and the movie stuff. But before we get into all that, and for those of you who may be new to the show, maybe you haven't got a clue what's going on, you haven't been here before, you haven't seen me doing the green screen before. Actually, nobody's seen me doing the green screen before. I got it working! Yay! Although, is my beard? Yes, there was a little bit of issue a while ago because I thought maybe I managed to green screen out my own beard and had that weird, you know, fucking Scanner Darkly cell shading thing going. But I didn't. It's all good in the hood. It is all cool in the casa, as they say. Giz cool is echoing, casa. Crackling, not the news. Giz is echoing. Why is Giz echoing?
I was listening. I didn't hear it, though.
Okay, was that a temporary thing, or am I still going echoey? Because that's a subject matter that needs to be dealt with. Sounds funky. Now, do you say, when you're saying sounds funky, do you mean what we're going to be covering, or do you mean the sound is funky?
No, you're... It's crackly, yeah. Kind of.
I'm crackly.
Yes, you.
I don't suppose that fixed anything, did it? A lot of static still going. Crap.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know what's causing that. Because there shouldn't be anything causing it.
It's almost like when a speaker blows out. Just that kind of crackle rumble.
Is this any better?
Yeah, it is just you.
Okay, is this any better? Because... unfortunately, these are things that I need to figure out.
Yes, it's good. Yep, good.
Okay, yeah, I think I know what the issue was there. So that's... Do you remember I said a while ago that my volume was off, basically? Yeah, well, I put it full on, so I think that's what the issue was. I was blowing the speaker. What do you mean, don't move? It's a wireless headset, Tristan.
I love old
We're
school.
Good.
Bring it, right there.
What'd you say? I've blown it again. testing 1, 2, 3. No, I think I should be good.
Yeah, I turned you down, so hopefully.
Still a tiny tinny bit of static. I did harden it up just a little bit. But the two of you are redlining, for Christ's sake, I think. Why don't you talk for me?
It's not that bad.
Why is reverse car?
I'm
not reading
on your... I don't know why you read that out loud, dude.
I stopped myself. I saw him posted it and I stopped myself. Well, Bill, welcome to the stream.
You thought 2024... You're good. I kind of listened back. I don't...
Buzz are okay. Giz are okay there. Yeah. Okay, so wherever... Right.
Don't touch anything else in terms of... like.
Don't touch this. Do-do-do-do-do. Do, don't touch this.
Oh, God. What?
No, I saw that opening of reverse, and I was like, nope.
My fucking God.
You were good for 5 seconds, then I turn it up again. I might have... I'm trying to get a balance here, dang it. How's that? Is that any better?
Just leave it. Yes. After we said don't touch it, and then you touched it anyway.
I can't help it. I like touching things. Why do you think I wear glasses?
I'm going to... Just don't touch anything else.
Don't touch it. All right, fine. Fine, fucking fine. Jesus H, tap dancing.
We thought 2024 would be a new year, but nope, same old Gorecast.
Well, it is a new year. I haven't had that fucking issue before. And look, green screen. That's new.
Yeah, he does have a green screen, that is.
Yeah, I got it working.
Oh, how is everybody's 2 week or so break without us?
You know, I'm going to duck off the into that previously thing because I think Bill broke Carter.
He did.
That's what I had a feeling.
I was okay until that last one.
I looked over and I just went, well, I think I know why Carter can't. Anyway, as I was trying to say a while ago, previously on the Gorecast, like way previously, years ago.
Into a porno.
No, you weren't here for the beginning of my review where I stated that this demon is acting extremely seductively and alluringly, right. Deliberately tempting people.
Like I'm every used demon. To like heads. No. I'm used to head spinning, like, you know, shit blown up, candles like flames. She's all like, "Hey, sailor." Oh shit! All right, cool. What's up?
The
like,
Exorcist, you know, chick was, literally started bashing her vag to bits with a fucking cross.
Yeah, but she was like really aggressive. Like, I don't know. Like, it was just, it was different.
Have you ever seen she fucking machines? It's aggressive. That's what the fucking
I
thing just, is.
I know, but I'm like,
point is,
the,
this chick pretty much did
a
striptease first.
Right, right. Like, there was a mood building thing. You know, tensions were kind of being mounted.
Can I just say, Carter, thank you so much for making me look good for a change.
Oh, no problem.
No, we're just making two of you look bad.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both.
Right now,
I'm so glad I'm not the one saying it.
Where?
No, you're just making the two of you look bad.
Yep, and that still has continued in 2024.
I was going to say,
that's not going away either.
I was going to say, because that's the funny thing is you said, like, this is previously, but I could be just as soon as being yesterday, too.
Okay, I need to know what this is. Carter, from Tristan. Carter, I'm sorry, you got to wait for news bits, LOL. It's personal bit movie related, so I'm sorry. Sorry about what?
Yeah, I don't know. That was a lot of...
Tristan doesn't want to put it in chat, but was just letting me know, hey, I got news to tell you. Because, like, a few lines up was like, I got news, and I'm like, sweet, I love news. It's personal, so can't tell you. Okay, cool. So it's just going to be like a later on instead of like public chat.
I guess then Tristan decided to just put a public chat after you.
Or maybe it's not. At least that's possibly.
Unless it's not that.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Anywho.
As I said at the beginning, tonight we're going to be taking a look at some of our favorite bits from 2023, some of the best bits, and in conjunction with that, Buzz has taken a look at somebody else's list of bits. What?
I also got another thing. Are we gonna do the announcement at the beginning or the end of the show?
What announcement?
About the new format that I mentioned in you for Tuesday shows.
I didn't think that was something we were public. I didn't think that was something we were announcing. I just thought that was something we were doing.
Well, I mean, it would be nice for people to like let them know that we're changing and what's coming up.
Rock on means I can spark this. Yeah, talk. Like, do it. Yep.
There you go. Cool. So us at the Gorecast have been, you know what sucks? Horror movie news. Not enough of it, and most of it's never interesting. We do 6 to 8 stories a week. Maybe one of them is intriguing. So we said, fuck it. We're done with horror news. And we're changing our Tuesday format to I kind of going with a working title tier list Tuesday, but we might do kind of a rotation of different types of topics and such for our Tuesday shows now, because like I said, news is we're not going to not cover the news. If there's something big, we'll do it at the beginning of one of the shows if it's something worth talking about, but no more of the stupid news. So starting this Tuesday, or not this Tuesday, because today is Tuesday, so next Tuesday, doing Tier List Tuesdays, where myself and the fellas are going to be doing live rankings of numerous of different of topics. I'll give you a quick little spoiler of the first one. We're going to be doing vampire movies. So we're just going to have a huge list of vampire movies. We're going to have 5 categories, and we're going to rate as many of them as we can. What?
I said, good to know.
These guys must have not.
No, I knew.
These guys must have not been in. Okay.
I'm ADD. I try, but I just fail.
So,
do you remember?
Hang on, just briefly, how we're gonna do it.
Do you remember last Thursday when the three of us got together just for a quick chat in Discord?
Yeah.
You remember?
Okay, in my defense, we talked about a lot of things, and a lot of things were used as an example. So, like,
Well, breaking news to everybody and Carter.
Sweet. I love breaking news.
So.
My lungs.
We're going to be doing tier list Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. Not today, Tuesday, next Tuesday. So not forever.
And Carter writes himself a note. Tuesday, vampires.
We're going to be doing vampire movies. There's going to be a list of maybe 10 or so films, and we're going to rank as many as we can in a acceptable amount of time. That was one of our big potential issues, is we might be here for 3 hours, and we're not, so it's going to be okay. So we'll get to as many as we can in about an hour. If we have some left, we can do a part two. But there's going to be 5 categories. It's going to be the best, good, meh, bad, and oh my god, why did they make
those are categories. Those are ranking levels of rank. Categories means that we're analyzing film in sound, in picture, in, you know.
No.
Okay, that's where I was kind of going. Categories. What in the shit?
Okay, yeah. Maybe I just didn't use the proper terminology. But that's what we're going to do. So we're going to have a list of whatever week, whatever topic is for that week. We're going to rank them in 5 different rankings and have a little bit of a banter, because I'm sure one of the movies Carter's gonna love, I'm gonna hate, Giz is gonna be like, why?
Oh, I was about to get like,
Giz is gonna be like, why?
Why are you putting Carter in the bus, bro? My
so, bad. And the other idea we have is kind of a debate style to form. We'll work that into where one of us is gonna be a judge, the other participants will give us a ranking of, no, we're not allowed to do Monster NATO, Bill. Giz says no.
Fucking too right.
Fuck
yourself. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, you prick.
Oh, dude, we're doing it. Come on. It's Monster NATO.
Fuck off.
Oh. Dude, okay.
Yeah, so
you've
that's
done,
what's happening.
You've done Shark NATO. You've done Clown NATO.
He made me.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, go for the trifecta and do Monster and be like, fuck you all, I had to do this. And, like, it's cool. It'll be fun.
You know what?
It'll be awesome.
You know what? You know what? Okay, fine. But remember, I'm in control of what we do for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I don't give a shit. I'm cool.
I know you don't. Buzz is probably bricking it.
If I get to do Monster NATO, yeah, you can totally have Valentine's Day.
He's
Buzz is like, oh fuck.
he's probably going, why does Giz want Valentine's Day? Anyway, Buzz, sorry, we didn't mean to interrupt, we just kind of did. Or are you finished? We can't hear you. Did you turn your mic off? Hello, Buzz.
Buzz?
Buzz? Now I'm actually starting to wonder, did he accidentally turn off his headphones or something? Check, 1, 2. Hello. There you go.
There we go.
My internet's fucking up right now. So.
Oh, okay.
Ah, that's what we thought. You were fucking giving us the cold shoulder or something because we kept interrupting.
It was like, it was super weird.
You guys just kept, like, you guys weren't doing anything, and my fucking laptop was spinning, and it kept saying poor
connection. Oh, no, we were doing the show. We were doing the show, and the thing is, you didn't disconnect or anything. You were just sitting there doing stuff, but, like, you were...
No, I was waiting for it
but
to reconnect.
Bear with me. From our point of view, you were sitting there totally ignoring us, like we were giving us the cold shoulder because we interrupted you talking so often.
No.
Because we were like, dude.
You guys started going into the conversation about Monster NATO, and then it just stopped, and I was
so
like,
you didn't hear the deal that we made.
No, I didn't.
So Gis says we get to do Monster NATO, but he gets Valentine's Day.
What does that mean? I told you you wouldn't figure it out.
He gets to pick shit for what we're doing for Valentine's Day.
I don't care. You guys act like I care about what we do on the show. You will this time.
Oh, even I fear for fucking Valentine's
Day. I already know exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to break the two. Well, I'll break one of you.
Watch just...
That was like cool.
Oh.
Also, we're the ones that always have to twist your arm into doing shit. You don't have to really twist my arm into doing
this.
It's you're the one that we have to worry about. Special.
This is going to be special.
Because you're the one that always complains.
Oh, this is going to be special.
It's not porn. I'm just going to put a fucking foot down there.
Fuck you.
You sound offended, but
I knew we shouldn't have. We should have just kept Stum. I should have just kept Stum and given him the films and just let him figure it out for himself.
Well, I guess if it's horror porn, I guess that's okay.
Anyway, we should probably get on with the show before.
Yeah, I might as well, I guess. But yeah, so next Tuesday, Tearless Tuesday, vampire films. Also, a quick other announcement. Back on Spotify.
See you later, Bill. Hopefully you talk to you tomorrow when you're around. Sorry, it's just he's checking out.
Yeah, so hopefully from now on, new episodes will be going up on Spotify. I put up our Christmas toy show episode last week when we talked. So if you want to listen to us on when you're having your poops or whatever you do when you listen to podcasts, we'll be there again.
There's advertising.
Yep.
There's advertising. Take us to the bathroom with you.
That's what I do. Yeah, I'm in there for a bit, so I mean, might as well.
So just,
I feel like we are not doing marketing.
Just to
right.
be clear, you watch us on the shitter.
No, I listen to us on the shitter. I don't want to look at our faces. When I'm the voices are fine.
I thought you were going to say the voices are bad enough.
I don't need eye contact.
We haven't even started.
I guess I don't have to worry about finding a clip for Thursdays previously from the Gorecast. We're back in old form, eh, ladies and gentlemen.
We're back.
And talking about we're back, we're going back to 2023 this week or this episode
tonight.
Or whatever. I decided, hey, let's be lazy and just do a retrospective because I don't want to do anything that actually indicates any research or any actual.
Hey,
work.
We did a whoa. We did a bit
Every
of research.
Every good show has a flashback episode.
I did a whole 5 minutes worth of research for tonight, okay?
You know
I thought it was going to be longer.
What you normally give,
I thought it was going to be longer, but it turns out that there was actually, it was easier than I thought it would be, so yeah.
Okay. So, 2023 was trademark pending, buzzy year, kind of a buzziest year. I don't know, maybe not. There's a lot of shit that happened in 2023. I tried to make something work and it didn't work.
I kind of liked it, but yeah.
I didn't do it very well. Anywho, 2023 had things happen. Let's say that. And Bloody Disgusting kind of did a thing where they did best of 2023, the year's 10 most unforgettable moments in horror.
The right one lined up.
Yes. And so I kind of was like, you know what? And the funny thing is, going through this list, I'm like, fuck, that was 2023? Damn, I thought it was not. So
same here.
The first one that they have up here, and what we're going to do is I'm going to go through, at least with their top moments list, I'm going to go over a couple, kind of read what they put in their little paragraph, and then we're going to kind of put our two cents in and see how we felt about whatever the topic was. So the first one is a viral killer doll, Megan. I was like, that was 2023? Okay. I thought that was easily 2022.
Because it was. But it kind of bled.
Oh my God, they actually fucking stole my thing. So the first thing is technically one of the buzziest horror movie moments.
There goes your patented trademark.
Yeah, and it's even worse that Bloody Disgusting is the one putting it for it because we know what their fucking input of
Buzz, human language. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, but I need to bring this up. You read this already.
It's busiest, isn't it?
You read this already, didn't you?
Oh.
This article?
I skimmed through it.
Okay,
but yeah.
I believe your subconscious might have picked up the word from the article and then inserted it into your brain as your own thing.
It could have. It could have, maybe. Anywho. Technically, one of the buzziest horror moments of the year began in 2022 from the very first look at the Dancing Queen in the trailer that debuted in October of 2022. Audiences were smitten. So much Megan went viral, and Blumhouse leaned into it in a way that ensured this near early January release was a not-so-sleeper hit. We'd expect nothing less from the mind of Akilah Cooper and director. Hey, Joseph. Gerard Johnstone. Thanks to Megan's fashion sense and style, October 2023's En Vogue costume seemed a foregone conclusion. You can shoot her down, but she won't fall. She is titanium. Okay. But yeah, so Megan. That kind of started us off the year in 2023.
I thought it was 2023.
I do remember. That's when the marketing started, but the movie itself came out in 2023. I really enjoyed that movie. I remember we did do a review, so if you want to check it out, go check in the archives. I don't remember if it was YouTube or Kick. It might have been YouTube because we kind of started Kick in the middle of last year.
Yeah.
So I think our Megan review would be over on YouTube. So go check out our YouTube channel if you want to watch our Megan review. I think we were all pretty smitten with it too. But yeah, I remember that movie. I remember them marketing like fucking crazy here in the States. So I don't know how.
I don't watch TV, well, so I haven't got a clue.
That's. But yeah, so.
Not to put too fine a point, Dennis.
Yeah. I honestly don't watch a lot of TV either. I watch more like YouTube, and I just remember fucking advertisements just like every time fucking YouTube would go to an ad, it was like, go watch Megan. Dan,
stop showing me adverts.
Oh, that's right. I did the Megan trailer.
Oh, yeah.
I did the trailer for Megan.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Go check that out. Maybe we'll bring that back for next step, for the beginning of the thing for Thursday.
What, you do the Buzz trailers?
It's only a couple minutes long. Yeah, we can do that as opposed to the Gorecast trailer that we have in the thing. We should replace that for one episode. I forgot.
Remind me.
I did not. That was a special place.
Yes. Yeah, so what do you guys talk about, Megan?
I dug it, dude. Excuse me. Now, I never got, because they dropped a R later on, right? Like an R version.
Yeah, if you mean an uncut version, yes. Yeah. I haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
Right. Neither did I.
It is there somewhere.
But I felt like the PG really, like, I don't know, I dug it.
Yeah, the thing for me was, no, it was my own fault. I fucking, even at the time, I made the mistake. I had it in my head that Megan was made by the same people that had done the shitty Child's Play remake. And the thing is, at the time that shitty Child's Play remake came out, myself and Johnny, we did a review of it, and we both agreed the fact that it was a good idea. The problem is they called it Child's Play. If they had called it Good Guy or any other name whatsoever, because of the way the story went, it would have been fantastic. And sure enough, along comes Megan, which essentially did exactly what myself and Johnny said the shitty remake should have done, which is to take a fantastic idea and just go with it. So you had what equated to, from a certain point of view, you had a baby Skynet. You know, this this little growing, emerging AI that's being trying to taught how to interact with a little girl, bond with the little girl, learn human emotions, and just ends up coming to the inevitable logic conclusion of humanity is shit and should probably be dealt with in as vigorously violent a manner as possible. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the sequel when it eventually comes out, because like,
same,
there was that was the point that we made, you know, when it came to the Child's Play film. There is a really good idea here. It's not particularly original because, you know, the AI nightmare is an old thing, but it is done well, and the interaction with the kids allows for the idea of, like we were saying before, a ground zero, a stage one. Megan is the beginning of something potentially apocalyptic. You know, Megan really is baby Skynet. And the trailer, because of the way that the dance happened and the body movements, that caught everybody's attention. That was the first thing everybody thought of, the 21st century version of the robot, shall we say. And it was just good fortune, I guess, that for once we had a film that it wasn't just a scene or a piece of dialogue that's really cool and everything else hinges around this one thing that you've seen in the trailer. Instead, we actually get a good fucking story, which, you know, while perhaps not the most original thing ever, was still fun. And for what it is and for what it did, like I said, I'd be looking forward to a sequel.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I know it's in the works. I don't have heard anything about anything concrete, but I'm sure probably in the next year or two.
I think everything's kind of getting back on track.
Yeah,
like we had
the writer's
strike done,
we
had so many films that were like, okay, do we want to do this one or do we want to go ahead and jump to this one? That kind of thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was probably, for horror at least, it was probably one of the most marketable films, like them marketing it as opposed to like what it made for in the horror genre that I can think of in 2023. I'd have to sit down and look over all the ones that, you know, came out, but I'm sure, like Joseph saying something about spending almost $10 million in
I believe it.
Like that's probably one of the more... why it seemed like that, because they probably put them try to, you know, make your money back and you put that much money into it. So but yeah, so that is Megan. So the next one I have here, I'm gonna go with this one, and it's not strictly about the one film, it's about kind of the new genre it's kind of getting into. Skinamarink. You know how we feel about Skinamarink.
Fuck me.
That's not a genre. That's not a genre. Giving your child a camcorder and letting him drop it all the time is not a genre. It's a fucking dumbass idea. Take the damn thing away from him.
Okay.
Dude, Skinamarink made like two groups. Those that didn't like it.
Because they're
and
intelligent.
Those that told those... No, and those that said, oh, you don't like it, you didn't get it.
What's there to get? There's nothing to
there
get.
Was a higher art form that the rest of us just did not get or appreciate.
There is no higher art form.
I heard that argument from a lot of people.
That's just an excuse to try and make up for the fact that you spent 2 hours watching children play with a fucking camcorder.
Agreed. But, like I said, though, then the argument goes, well, we just weren't smart enough to understand it.
No, we weren't dumb enough to make up excuses for it.
Okay.
Oh, Megan 2 is supposed to come out January 2025.
That could be cool.
Damn. Yeah, that would be kind of fitting with the first one coming out in January.
Sorry, it's just part of what we were doing tonight is to basically try and figure out, well, we might see how the show goes, looking at, you know, what we thought were some of the best films. And as a result, I started going down through lists and I swear to the fucking gods, that pile of fucking tripe was somebody's number one. And all that went through my head is, what fucking drugs are you on? How brain dead are you? And how much were you paid to say that?
They got it.
But here, so less obvious or marketable than Killer Dancing Queen is the abstract lo-fi horror vibes of Skinamarink, a divisive found footage effort from Kyle Edward Bale. The film went viral on social media last year, prompting an early theatrical release this year that horror fans are still talking about. Skinamarink wasn't the only one either. Screenbox's The Outwaters from Robbie... That closer to my face. Banfitch also got buzzing. God, stop using buzzing in every fucking article.
You're never, ever going to be able to copyright that. No, you know that, don't you?
God,
they found their thing. They're going to hit it hard.
They found out Buzz was going to copyright it and decided to take it. Oh my God, they're the WWE of the horror industry.
There you go. The Outwaters. Yeah, okay. So also get people buzzing for experimental take on found footage horror. both pioneer wielding the art of liminal horror to strike visceral terror on those willing to ride these movies wavelength in 2023. Fuck that. I didn't see the other movie, so I can't really comment on the other movie, but if it was like Skinamarink, right up the fucking donkey's ass with it. I don't care. Next up, more happier thoughts. Russell Crowe on investment. Yes! Hope's Exorcist.
Sorry, I just...
Overlord director Julius Avery was back this year with an exorcism movie. The post-exorcist star Russell Crowe played Gabriel Amorth, the Vatican's leading exorcist, as he investigates a new possession case that uncovers a long buried Vatican secrets. Crowe's version of Amorth asks for espresso when being scolded by church members. Pull this to my face. Or covertly tosses phone skulls and collages while, yeah, or no, at colleagues, sorry, not collages. So 2024, I still can't read for shit. So just let you know that's a change between the break. At colleagues while the soundtrack plays on nose bops from The Cult, The Saints, and The Violent Femmes. The veteran actor leaned into scene chewing for this raucous, there you go.
And a while ago was Kevin Leary. Sorry, it's just I was drinking water at the time, so I couldn't help
Oh, okay, that's fine. Okay, so yeah, this is kind of where I wanted to get into it, though. The marketing for this film was very weird because it was done in a whole different league this year, as evidenced by Crowe plugging the film during the broadcast of WWE WrestleMania 39. But then came after the film had already captured after images of Crowe's father Amorth on a Vespa.
You just didn't even want to attempt to say Zeitgeist, yeah, did you?
Nope. There you go. That's why I was going to let you say it. I learned. Yeah.
Just wait. Somebody else will pick it up.
I thought that was really weird when I was watching WrestleMania 39. It was leading into the Hell in a Cell match between Finn Balor and Edge. And it was presented by the Pope's Exorcist. And I was like, what?
I mean, hell.
How is that any weirder than presented by add in random fucking food or drink here?
That's true. I guess that's true. But I don't know. It just was kind of like.
I honestly, you know me when it comes to fucking the rest, when it comes to WWE, I'll watch bits and pieces. I don't remember that coming up in the middle of WrestleMania when I was watching it.
Sadly, I don't either.
Maybe I didn't watch that fucking match. It's yeah. Entirely possible. Secondly, the only stuff that I had seen was the trailer that got put up, but I have to say, we reviewed The Pope's Exorcist, and I think, generally speaking, we all thought it was really, really good. His characterization is fantastic. The fact that it's literally the guy that the old film The Exorcist is based on. You know, one of the things that he says at the very start that really got it for me was he goes in, he's being fucking given grief by like a review panel, let's call it. And he turns around and it's basically, someone turns around and goes, look, just so you know, 99% of the time he recommends people see physicians or psychiatrists, you know. And he even says it himself, you know, that's the deal. It's just that 1% that you need someone like me to step in and deal with it. And it was a really good film for what it was. Russell Crowe burning around a place on the Vespa is hilarious and will never not make me laugh. Because he's just
image we all need.
It's not just that, dude. He is off doing some fucking serious shit and he is just a happy chappy on that Vespa. It's like, yeah. I'm going to enjoy life while I can, drink my cappuccino, cavalierly throw a skull at my colleagues and then fight the fucking devil on his own ground. Come here to me. What are you, a tugboat? For those of you that may or may not get that South Park joke.
Got it.
Yeah, you got it. Yay. But no, it was fun. I have no idea what the marketing, like, it's... apart from that, yeah, was there any other weird shit that they did?
That's the only thing I can think of. It just was... very weird because like they did a whole like he did like a video like intro to the match And that's where I think I was more, because like a lot of these
that
other advertisements,
so
they'll
I
just,
don't remember that.
They'll just say, hey, it's, you know, presented by Pepsi. And then they'll just have Pepsi on the thing. It's like, okay, whatever. But like, this was like the, like Russell Crowe was doing this whole like a minute and a half, like promo. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So that's why it was more weird than any other random, you know, promotional thing where it's just like, this match is presented. They had the damn Cinnamon Toast Crunch match or whatever the fuck that was. I'm like, okay, it just says Cinnamon Toast Crunch on the fucking thing. Oh,
the only
whatever.
Time, I tell you, the, like, just briefly, the only time I've seen one of those matches where it's presented by something and they have the product involved in it, the only time I've seen that happen and it was good was AEW with a fucking Cracker Barrel match with Darby Allin and I don't know who the hell else, because they that. Broke each other on an actual
Joey
fucking
Janela,
barrel. That was violence.
I think it was Joey Janela.
Oh, Joey Janela. Thank you. Couldn't remember. But my
no, yeah, he was. It was all those hard.
Yeah, but that's my point. It's kind of like, okay, we're using a Cracker Barrel. No, we have to use the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Well, and like that's what WWE's been doing this last, because they had that stupid like Mountain Dew Pitch Black match last year at WrestleMania that was unfortunately Bray Wyatt's last match before he passed
away. Oh, I wish you had that actually had that fact hadn't sunk into my brain somehow.
Yeah, because he had that little thing with him, and then like after that he ended up like kind of disappearing, and then never knew you. Anywho, okay. So I guess I'll move on, yeah. So we can get away from that sad thought. And I skipping a couple on their thing, I'm going down to Five Nights at Freddy's. All right, so next up, we have Five Nights at Freddy's recording record or recording Breaking Gateway Horror.
Record even? Or no, never mind, go. I don't know. I can't read it. Go.
Gateway horror movie Five Nights at Freddy's defined expectations and stumped box office pundits surprisingly all by its massive success. Well, all except for its devout and robust fan base. Devout and robust fan base that contributed to the huge box office numbers. The horror film directed by Emma Tammy, based on the video game series created by Scott Cawthon, scared up an incredible $289.3 million at the worldwide box office. The film's current domestic total is $137.2 million, which officially makes it the highest grossing movie in Blumhouse history. Wow. Those numbers mark Five Nights at Freddy's as a potential defining horror movie of a new generation, and at the very least marks it as the top grossing horror movie of the year. Oh, no. Thank you.
What?
YouTube. I like was trying to hit things and YouTube opened up and I didn't want it to open up. And yeah, so anyway, Five Nights at Freddy's Gateway Horror. We reviewed it and it was fine, I think.
Yeah.
I definitely can see it as being, wow, my fucking laptop is way behind. I'm now just getting Gorecast went live. I'm like, yeah, no shit.
Same here.
Anywho, yeah, I do see it as kind of the new gateway horror, as into kind of like maybe how Goosebumps and stuff and Are You Afraid of the Dark could have been for maybe our generation, or well, my generation, as like preteens. That kind of, you know, 10 to, I don't know. I let my kids watch fucking Terrifier, so I guess I'm not a good, like, advocate on.
We're not going to get into the discussion of what films I was seeing at what age.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I know that was, it was a big, because like I said, my son is a big Five Nights at Freddy's fan. I know there's Five Nights at Freddy's is really, really, really big for a while. And I definitely think I can see it as like a kind of the new gateway horror. And I'm definitely not surprised that it kind of broke a lot of records, because I know how those fan base like can really carry a film maybe a bit higher than it possibly really should be, because I don't think it's that good. But But it's not for me. Like I said,
fans gave it too much love.
What's worse is I'm sitting there kind of going, so glad he said it, not me for a change.
That's where I'm kind of going. It's obviously a film that marketed to the audience that liked Five Nights at Freddy's, which is fine.
Yeah, that's
who you want to get on board.
Yeah,
you don't really care about the people who aren't really. I mean, you do kind of want them to get new people.
Honestly, I'm in the same boat as you, Buzz. I personally wasn't into it, but I can appreciate the fact that the film was made for fans of the game, and if the fans of the game are happy with the film, then the film did its job. You know, that's like fucking, there are certain movies that that get made, and you know, it's subject matter that I would know about, or you know, something that I would read, and there's fans of that stuff, and you know, I might be sitting there and you'd watch and you'd be like, I didn't think it was that good, and I'm ready to kill you because I'm like, are you kidding? It's a masterpiece. Do you know how well it did this? So I get that, you know, the idea of aiming specifically towards your audience. And as long as the people that play the game and that are fans of the game thought that it was a good representation of the game, then, you know.
That does job.
Essentially.
Yeah, so. But I don't know if you had anything else to add, Carter, before I moved on.
No.
Okay. I was just more like, let's keep it moving before problems happen again. But to a movie that did have a big box office and one that we do like, well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure I will like it. The last thing is Godzilla Minus One, a Kaiju Slice sleeper hit.
Oh, yeah, baby. Bring me the fucking kaiju.
Driving the point home that it's audiences that shape the box office, Toho's Godzilla Minus One quietly released stateside, released stateside in limited release just in time for the holidays. Word of mouth quickly spread, prompting not only the expansion in theater numbers, but kind of looked like it did a Terrifier 2, kind of. But expansion of its initial planned run. That's no small feat at all in this crowded landscape. While its box office run would be impressive on its own merit, Godzilla Minus One continues to dominate with critics too. The film has earned a spot on the Academy Awards shortlist and a nomination for the Critics' Choice Association. Toho raised the bar on Godzilla yet again, and they'll next be lobbing the ball back to Legendary for next year's MonsterVerse sequel, which is Godzilla X Kong.
Something. New Empire.
I forgot what it was called. New Empire. There we go. Which will be coming out at some point this year.
Okay.
So Godzilla, guys.
So I, like yourself, Buzz, have not yet seen it. However, like you, same. I am very much looking forward to it. The first trailer that I saw for it, when it came out, I looked at it and I just went, oh yeah, it looks like they're remaking the original Godzilla movie. Ooh, this is going to be cool. And to be perfectly honest, my thought process was, this is going to be cool because I'm a fan of the original movie, and seeing the original story being done with modern effects would be pretty fucking awesome. Now, here's some interesting things. Recently, Disney have been proving what a shit show they are by just fucking being the Pandaverse that South Park called them. And as a result, audiences have turned around and gone, fuck off, we don't want to watch your films. Disney have gone, fuck you, we're going to make you watch your films. And the audiences have gone, no, you can't. Instead, we're going to watch good stuff. Oh, look, there's Godzilla. That's literally what happened. Godzilla was made on a quarter of the fucking budget, a half these fucking Disney movies. And bear in mind, I'm a fucking comic book movie fan, and I think the latest pile of shite is exactly that, piles of shite. So anyway, Godzilla was made on a fraction of the budget, has made fucking how many times its fucking budget already. It has made a laughingstock of Disney by doing one simple factor, and it's one factor that every entertainer for the last fucking 150 years has figured out, and Disney has decided to fucking go against, and that is, you're entertaining your audience. Disney is not Vince McMahon, audience of one for WWE, because that's what he fucking did, you know. These films that they're bringing out, if they don't appeal to the masses, if you're not doing stuff that's actually going to be interesting and good, people aren't going to want to watch it. If you hand out the same shite with the same crappy fucking story arcs and fucking storylines and fucking characters the whole time, and you're trying to shove your agenda down everyone's faces, then you're going to get bitch slapped by a giant fucking lizard tail, which is exactly what just fucking happened here. And like I said, I haven't seen the film yet. I've seen snippets of it. I've seen bits of it. I know what it is. And I'm so looking forward to properly sitting down and watching it. But I don't think it's in the cinemas in Ireland. And if it is, I haven't seen it because I've been up the walls, to be perfectly honest. But I will get a chance to at some point. And I cannot express how happy I am to see a Godzilla movie in 2023, 2024, not only being this successful, but essentially dropping trout and pissing all over the company that's trying to ruin the entertainment industry and is trying to actively ruin so many different stories that I have fucking grown up with and loved my entire life. You can't kill Star Wars. I don't give a fuck. I've got all the Dark Horse comics. Fuck right off.
Yeah, its budget was a little under $15 million. As of right now, box office is putting it at $90.2 million.
Fuck yeah.
As of right now. Currently, it sits with, let me scroll back up, it's got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb. So it is a very highly rated film all over, because like it was saying,
just briefly. Joseph, are you looking at Cinema Times for The Pale, what the rest of you call Dublin? Because that's way up in the other side of the country to where I fucking am, yeah? Sorry, Buzz.
It's funny to see these movies, like you just said, this pulled it off for like, what was it, 15? And it's killing it. But we've got movies coming out with like budgets of
300
million, 200 million, right?
Yeah.
And they're barely pulling
because
in.
Because they're shit and stories.
That's 90 if they're lucky. Aside,
those
I'm
are
just
movies
saying
that are those are the movies that are bound to fail when you have.
Right.
I'm not going to say bound to fail, but like all those, it's hard these days for people to go to movies now. So the more and more money you throw into movies now, it's the return is going to be, it's not guaranteed like it used to be.
Right.
So I
think a lot of it comes down to a refusal at times to adapt with situations, but also the fact that, like I said, man, regardless of the size of the budget, the reason these movies are failing, it's not necessarily just because, you know, we're in a time where people aren't going to the cinema more often, because there's ways around that. There is, and the fucking pandemic showed it with the explosion of streaming services and the deals that were made there. The reason these films, in my opinion, are doing badly is because rather than giving us stories and characters that we like, we are getting crap. We're getting diatribe.
I feel like
we're...
that's part of it, though. Right. No, but I feel like that's part of a multi-process issue, though. Because, again, like, you throw in a shit ton of money, and then you're pissed that it only brought in $90 million on its opening.
Because,
well, dude,
the story's crap. The characters are crap.
I get it. That's,
nobody...
I get it. But what I'm saying is money put in. Godzilla, 15, brought in shit ton. If you put in $300 million on a film, you can't be upset when it brings in 90 on opening. You can't sit there and go, we put in $300 million on this movie. We expect $500 million on an opening. But I don't care how good the fucking story is.
The thing is, though, if they actually had bothered their arses to actually put in the fucking... if they had bothered their arses to actually make stories that people like and want to see... Okay, yeah, I get your point. You're not going to make that back in the cinema. But like I said, recent years have shown that there are ways around it. As in, the fucking the streaming services is one thing. You know, they have their own channel for Christ's
sake. Yeah,
there's
streaming services.
Bear with me, right? You would still, even if you're not making it all in the cinema, good reviews, good opinions from the people that do go to see it in the cinema lead to more views on the other platforms that you put it on. If you get crap reviews from crap films in the cinema, nobody's going to bother wanting to watch it, no matter what fucking platform it's on. And when it comes, when you get
the
right
only,
down to it,
the only...
not making stuff that is entertaining and appealing to people, then it doesn't matter where the platform is, whether it's cinema or streaming or anything else, nobody's going to want to watch it. If you're making something that everyone's talking about because it is good, because it is entertaining, and because it actually makes you want to see more of it, then you're going to make your money regardless of the platform.
Depends, because sometimes when it comes to the platforms, when Netflix, when they buy a movie, it's a one-time thing. So yeah, we'll buy your movie for $20 million. But if you're doing a multi-hundred million dollar film, that's only $20 million. And then if you're not getting the theater revenue,
right,
then that's still not gonna. And it still might be to what you're saying is it.
Oh, I totally agree.
Hang on a second. Whoa. We're talking about this company that we're talking about have their own streaming service, yeah? Now here's the point that I'm trying to make, yes. And I probably.
If you're talking about specifically Disney,
but hang on.
I mean, this is not just a Disney problem.
Hang on a second. There's a lot of these companies that have their own streaming platforms, or that are connected to companies that have streaming platforms that would give them a good deal. Here's my point once again. You can put your film up on your streaming platform. You can charge a premium. You can charge a rental rate. You can charge whatever you want, as long as people will, as long as you have an audience that wants to pay it. You're not going to have an audience that wants to pay shit if you're not producing products that they want to fucking see. So if you have your limited cinema thing and it gets good word of mouth, everyone's going to want to buy that when it hits the fucking streaming platform, and then you start making your revenue back. If you have something that is doing crap in the cinemas, nobody's going to care and it won't matter.
Okay.
Which is hard though, because they have so much other stuff though.
Right.
Like you're looking at them as a whole. We're talking about one single movie, but you're talking about a streaming service
happening
that has thousands of things of entertainment. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint that just to
But it's
this
not.
Movie.
I'm not pinpointing it just to this movie though. I'm looking at the last four or five big budget movies that
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I meant. I'm saying when people are buying the Disney Plus, because obviously we're talking about Disney. When people are doing Disney Plus exclusive or subscriptions, it's not going to just the Avengers. It's paying for the whole thing as a whole. So those numbers aren't
That's why you put it up as you've subscribed to the service code, you get all this stuff, just letting you know, also available to rent for this extra price. Boom.
Yeah, well, they don't.
But they fucking should.
They did Mulan, if I remember correctly.
They do. Anyway. They did that at certain times for early premieres.
Right.
But once it hits the thing, and there's no.
Well, that's their own fault then, because that means that they're shooting themselves in both feet. They're not only taking away their ability to make that extra revenue, but they're also losing out because they don't make films that people would be willing to give that extra revenue.
The theater thing is more because these are going directly to. When you're going to see Godzilla Minus One, all the proceeds are going to Godzilla Minus One. It's not going to the that's what I'm saying. The theater not having, like I said, I'm not saying your argument of shit storylines isn't a part of it. It's just people aren't going to theaters as much anymore, and it's just a snowball effect on why those big movies aren't.
And the fact that they're not being handled properly.
Well, you keep saying that they're shit films. All right, like, say, what was that? Ryan Reynolds' Six Underground. Phenomenal fucking movie, you know? I hadn't heard a bad fucking word from anybody about it. Everybody fucking dug the shit out of it. It had a lot of fucking watches, but yet it still did not bring in, because that's what I'm saying, like, it's multiple issues, be it too many cooks in the kitchen, what have you, dude. They brought in a shit ton of views. And they still like, well, it didn't pull in what we thought. Like, too many people have high expectations because they put too much money into a film. And so they're like, well, fuck, dude, that we spent three, we should have got five. Dude, that's not physically possible. Like, you can't.
And another downside of that also is the disappearance of physical media. Because then movies aren't being bought that much anymore. So then monies from people buying Blu-rays or DVDs aren't going to the film either. So just there's a big combination of why,
because we used to have buying and renting stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now it's just rent.
Streaming streaming apps are completely,
as I said, mismanagement of the platforms, as far as I'm concerned. That's their own fucking fault.
Well, yeah, but I know, I'm just saying, that's not
the
Disney thing.
But like, it's
we keep going about Disney.
Because as
not,
far as I'm concerned, Disney's the biggest culprit because they keep fucking shit that I love, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So as a result, they're sticking out my head. And they also keep losing shitloads of money because they're putting out bad products that nobody wants to watch. Now, as far as the whole, you're absolutely right. The disappearance of physical media is a big thing. And it's weird because it's kind of like the industry shot itself in the foot on that one. It's like, here's this really great idea. We're going to do this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, cool. How did you intend on making money off that again? If you don't set things up with a certain mindset, you can't be fucking pissy because it didn't fucking work out for you. And if you're not going to fucking, like, if you're going to kill off a money-making industry, the least you can do is make sure you got your next money-making industry figured out.
Exactly. Right.
You
get rid of one because you have new revenue coming
honestly,
in. Exactly.
Honestly, that's why when the pandemic happened, my viewpoint, for a certain point of view for me was, oh, look, they've finally been forced to get their fucking act together in regards how they handle streaming things. Because, like we were saying a second ago, you couldn't go to the cinema. They had to figure out a different way of making money for their movies. Oh, look, we have all these streaming services. Why not just put a specific price on this specific film because it's coming out here rather than in the cinema. And if you want to watch it, you pay your fucking money like you'd be paying to go to the cinema to watch it. And like I said, that works if you have stuff brought out that people are willing to pay that little bit extra to watch.
Right, yeah.
And if you don't have stuff...
Yeah, now... Now it's like it does its, you know, month and a half, 2 months or so in the theater, and then it's boom right on whatever streaming service. Or some of them just go straight there. Like the Five Nights at Freddy's debuted in theaters and on Peacock. Halloween.
There's
Halloween.
Things like that. I'm sure there would have been in.
That made more sense.
Peacock and in the cinema.
I meant in the Five Nights. Like it's like each one is its own thing. Like but Five Nights at Freddy's, it made sense because I think it's more driven to a younger audience who might not be able to go out to the theaters all the time.
Oh, yeah, so don't want to sit
right there.
To it.
So it's each movie, it's each situation is its own thing. So I think it worked with that one, but I don't think it works for all of them because it did because I was fucking going to go pay money to go watch Halloween Ends. Fuck that. technically I paid for the service, but I say no, that was my other.
You see what
right.
You see what
I want my money back.
See what I mean there though? You know, that's a film that if it had been good, you would have been willing to pay, but it was crap, so you weren't.
I still wouldn't have been willing to pay.
It's a Halloween movie. We both know you would have.
My fear is with the way this is going though, like if you know, we've seen the end of physical media. With streaming not being able to figure out how we're going to do all this shit, the theater is going to be next.
What, you think the theater is going to go away?
Could be.
That's my fear, dude. Like, in my area, we lost three theaters. We now have like the big company AMC, but we lost like one smaller company and a mom and pops because everything switched over. So like the new equipment was too expensive for the smaller venues. So now we have the big AMC kind of vibe, but with whole streaming and all that, like I was kind of worried during that whole pandemic when we were like, okay, well, we'll just shift to streaming. The AMC as a company was already like redlining hard right before the pandemic. Yeah. And so, yeah, I do kind of worry that we may lose cinema next.
I could see that as your mom and pop type things, the bigger companies I would probably say would probably be able to hang it out. But that's almost kind of like how when the video stores, I mean, now those are all gone, but like
right.
those words like Blockbuster and Hollywood Video, your big franchises, your mom and pop ones were starting to disappear.
Yeah, but what if it ends up being the other way around? What if big movies shoot themselves in the feet too many times, can't afford to do stuff, and as a result it's independent cinema that starts to rise up as the only ones because they're able to do.
I would love that, but I don't see that fucking
happening.
Well,
hang on a minute. Good stories done on lower budgets to smaller groups means profitability. That then grows. So you have more people doing lower budget, better stories to, you know, growing number of smaller cinemas, and eventually big cinemas have to fucking get their shit together and kind of go, hey, can we have some of them really cool independent movies?
Like, I mean,
big cinema would have to go on a huge, like, fucking drug, alcohol bin, spend way too much fucking money. Because, like, as we've seen now, as we've seen now, it's easier to, like, film an entire film, have it in a fucking can, and then have it as a tax write-off to save us money at the end of the year. How that happens, I have no fucking clue, but obviously that somehow saves them.
He's not all that wrong, though, because we saw examples of it last year or in 2022. Look at the demand of movies, and then, like I said, if these movies were good or not, but the word of
right.
Some of the more independent word of mouth of these some of these yep. smaller independent movies.
Yep.
Look at Terrifier 2, how big that thing was. Look at Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Word of mouth.
I mean,
that
like
hurt
I said,
you to say
good
it,
or not. It's still
I dug it, but that hurt you to
independent,
say
independent. You also, I mean, look at you got Winnie the Pooh 2 coming out. Obviously, we got Terrifier 3 coming. Like, I see where he could be. It seems like there's been more hype around lesser known commodities because people are whatever the reason why people are going to watch these films, whether they're fans of the previous ones, interest or whatever, but it seems like more of the buzz
dude going around no, dude is. If you thought about it, more of the me going around about it.
Yeah. It's when we just, I mean, even again, piece of shit movie, but even we just talked about one, Skinamarink. That's another one. Not a big budget movie, but it's like these more independent movies or smaller known movies seem to be getting a little bit more of the talk as opposed to the big, big budget movies that are coming
and
out.
It's
so,
because
I mean, I don't think it's going to change much. But I mean, it's just, it's something to
honestly,
look at that that's where people's interests are in.
I would love to see, hand to God, I would love to see Indy be able to get that.
See, here's the thing.
I just don't see it possible.
But here's how it could be possible. A continuation of the current trend, whereby lots and lots of money is getting thrown at films that aren't doing well for whatever reason. Whether it be because the people making them have higher expectations or because they don't know how to do a good fucking story, one or the other. But the point being that they don't like a continuing trend of films losing money. We'll get to the stage whereby you have companies maybe going bankrupt or at the very least definitely having to rethink how much money they allocate to these particular projects as opposed to this other stuff that they've got going over here, you know? So as a result of all that, you could very well have this shift in regards to the entertainment industry, whereby just from pure necessity, it ends up with the rise of the independents as a result. Because once again, the things that we stated, lower budget, better story, better thought put into it, and more word of mouth because of, you know, the overall perception of the product. Whether or not it's something that we all think is good or not, all that matters is whether or not the vast majority of people think that it's worth paying money for. And right now, a lot of the stuff that's being produced, the vast majority of people don't. Well, yeah, that's probably one side,
right.
But you know, it just seems that way, you know.
Also,
no, like I've loved.
You miss more of the. More than just the start.
Like
we actually have been going on for a while because we had
somebody,
to start.
Yeah, truth be told, this is going exactly how I thought it would. With you know, just the news bits where we talk for ages and we're not going to get to the movie bits.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I would love to see the indie continue to grow. I just don't see the machine ever kind of like losing to that level.
$300 million, $400 million loss. On films, you know,
full films recorded and then written off. Like they somehow they figured out their deal with the devil. Like that's all.
Those
I'm
are
saying.
Two different companies, though.
Yeah, but one company, like, but as we see in the whole, I see how you figured it out. I'm like, oh shit, I got to start doing it how Giz does it. Buzz sees it, and that's how the machine keeps cranking out all of this shit.
Well, something that we're going to be able to solve tonight.
Well, I can solve it, but...
It was a good little topic.
I can solve it, but you won't let me have access to bioweapons, so, you know.
That's a good idea. So what we'll do is we'll tie a bow on the stories or whatever of 2023, because it's some good discussions there.
Yeah.
What we'll do is we won't get into the whole top the move their thing. I will just have everybody read their top movies. We won't have to get into it. We'll just use this as a tie up.
I accidentally came up with 15 films. I didn't realize that until about.
You can read them. I don't care.
I'm not reading them all. You see, I was thinking that like if we were doing this in parts, I'd just read five tonight and five the next night. Because don't forget, we're not. We probably won't be doing news for a while. There's nothing that says we can't fucking to be continued.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
If you narrow it down to.
All right, I'll pick five for tonight.
Whatever.
One.
Okay. Well, I only have five, so I don't have more to go.
I for. Like I said, I accidentally came up with 15.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You want me to just read mine while you pinpoint yours?
Okay. So my. This is like, who am I going to mention? Who am I going to mention?
My top five of 2023. I have number five. It's a Wonderful Knife. I just thought it was an interesting little take on a classic story. Number four, I had Malium. Really liked that movie. Don't know why.
It was the remake of
The Last Shift.
Yep.
Yeah. Really liked that movie. didn't really think it needed a remake at this point, but, you know, it is what it is. Number three, I had Wrath of Becky, because it's fucking amazing. Not as good as the first, but
this one. Go you.
It's hard to be that one as good. Number two, I had Talk to Me. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I know other people thought it had other agendas, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. It was somewhat different, and it was fun. Number one, No One Will Save You. Fucking aliens and fucking killing people. And yes, into my eye holes, No One Will Save You.
My eye holes felt so just... Okay, yep. My eye holes did not appreciate it as much as
I liked it as well, not going to lie.
I know.
Anyway.
I was the odd man out.
That was Buzz's top five.
All right, character, do you want to go next? Because I'm still... It's better that you go next because there's a couple of films that means that I'm... a process of elimination, I won't be using them because you've mentioned them.
Like, I was kind of with Buzz, man. A couple of those, like, you know, Wrath of Becky almost made my list. Like, I was trying to figure out, like, I grabbed kind of a handful, and then it was that whole, like, okay, what really was, like, fucking good? And so, like, Wrath of Becky made my list and shit, but, excuse me, when it came down to it, for me, it was, and it was this mix of horror, not horror. I'm just going to put that out there, right? For me, Saw X, that... Oh, I fucking loved Saw X. Then I had The Machine, which is it's based off of a stand-up comedian, Bert. Oh, shit, what's his name? Bert. Oh, fucking cannot think of his last name. It's a bit that he did with a
stand-up.
Oh, fucking Russia, The Machine.
Isn't that whole thing where he conned somebody or something like that? He conned his way into being a multi-billionaire or something?
No. This was like he was in college and his he signed up for a fucking language course and was like, cool. Oh, shit, I'm in Russians. Okay, cool. And then like completely was failing. And then his teacher was like, hey, if you just go on this Russian trip with us, I'll pass you. And that's part of his stand-up routine that he did like years ago. Well, they did a live action where Mark, forgetting last name, Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill.
Hamill.
Thank you. Was his dad, and it was a whole thing. They kind of did like a. They brought the machine to life and kind of like went back and kind of retraced his steps. I thought that was fucking awesome. another one was Renfield. I dug the shit out of that one. I know you don't like it, but there was so much in it that I loved. It was a whole different kind of look. We always follow Dracula. Renfield's just kind of like, meh. This was cool to me.
Renfield's kind of like, meh.
Let's see. And then this one's kind of a weird one because it was a TV movie. It was Monk. There was an old TV show called Monk. As all of these TV shows are kind of like coming back and like doing shit umpteen years later, they did this recent Monk.
Last Case or something?
Mr. Monk's Last Case. Yeah, a Monk movie. And again, like I'm always kind of like leery when we come back umpteen years later, but this was such a beautifully well done vibe of Monk with an awesome ending. I was like, that's some shit. Excuse me. And then my last one's like Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah, I had that done.
Oh, yeah. That movie.
I know, like, you and me kind of went back and forth of what was real, what wasn't. But, like, Knock at the Cabin stuck with me when it was all said and done. Like,
probably one of Shyamalan Ding Dong's best recent movies. So.
Yeah, it really was. You know, like, he kind of burned me out after I See Dead People.
But...
Right, no. He kind of burned me out after I See Dead People, but then this one was kind of a home run for me. So,
okay. So bear in mind, hang on. Bear in mind, as I said, I came up with a list of 15 movies. Some of the movies have already been mentioned by the lads, so I will be not counting them. Oh my God, that was
that might help.
My shoulder didn't crack; it grinded there. Oh, that's oh. Anyway,
guess suddenly goes just kind of like a limp.
Not the
pop rocks part.
So before I get into my list, true story: I used to crack my neck all the time, and I did it one day. I won the last turn around, and he just went, "Jesus Christ, what was that?" Oh, that was my neck. Right. So just to be clear, if you ever die of a broken neck, we know that you just did something stupid to yourself. I was just like, "Fuck." Anyway, so yeah, like I said, not mentioning any of the films that the lads have already gotten into, so I suppose I shall start with at number 5, purely because yeah, I guess it's yeah, Unseen, which was a film that kind of caught us all by surprise.
Yeah,
where a girl goes on a girl basically gets abducted by her ex, gets away from him,
mm-hmm.
But she loses her glasses and is really blind without them, ends up dropping her phone, trying to call for help, ends up calling a random number, and gets assistance from another lady in a shop named Sam. Now, Sam is, like, fucking in a shitty job, and fucking her boss is an asshole, and everyone treats her like crap, and then all of a sudden, there's this woman on the other end of the phone whose life depends on her. And what's interesting is, it's one of those...
Oh,
it's one of those stories that, like, I didn't think I was like it was going to be great or anything like that, but it's a complete story. It has a start, a middle, and an end, and by that I mean that it's a poignant story. When you realize that the character Sam is at the start of the movie, she's trying to call a number on her phone, and she drops the things she was trying to fucking do, and then she ends up getting distracted by work, and at the end of the film, things come full circle, and it's a very life-affirming story, is the only way I can put it, while still being a really good novel storytelling approach, because most of the film, a lot of it, at times, we're seeing it, like, they're looking at each other through cameras. Well, it's mainly Sam looking at the other lady, whose name escapes me right now, looking at her through the camera and trying to guide her around, and it was a really cool idea. Up next, I'm going to go with Cocaine Bear, because by the gods, that may have been one of the funniest films of the last year.
That was almost
and
on my
here's
list.
The thing, I had to do a double take, because as many of you may know, I'm a big AEW fan, I'm a big wrestling fan, and the champion, fucking not Intercontinental champion, the fucking All Atlantic champion, I think he's called now, whatever belt he had before, was Orange Cassidy. And every fucking...
Oh, yeah.
They did a brilliant thing, because Orange Cassidy puts on great matches. So every Dynamite, every AEW show, you know, the main TV show, the first match of the night is an Orange Cassidy match, When Cocaine Bear started, I had to do a double take because the fuckers used the exact same fucking music that Orange Cassidy uses at the start. I was like, I did put on the film, didn't I? I didn't accidentally put on last night's Dynamite, did I? What the fuck? But based on a true story, and then wildly blown out of all proportions, the true story being that once upon a time, some dude chucked a shitload of cocaine out of a plane and it was never found. However, they did find a dead bear that they reckon ate the cocaine. This story tells the story of what happened in the time between that bear eating the coke and that bear no longer being a living animal. And actually, at the end of it, it's still alive now that I think about it. But it's a fucking hilarious story. It's hilarious. It's fucking great. And if you haven't seen it yet, I suggest going and watching it because it's fucking great. Okay, one, two.
Dude, and it launched Panther on cocaine and a gator on
yes,
cocaine.
I saw. I was really hoping you hadn't seen them and were unaware of their existence, to be perfectly honest.
None of them are that good.
So, shit, where was I? Okay, sorry, it's just I've got a large list. I had them all figured out, and then I forgot them. One, two. Okay, that's four and five, but what was three? Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Three is Last Voyage of the Demeter. For those of you unfamiliar, the Demeter is from Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's the ship that transports him from Europe over to England. And basically, in the story, while it doesn't go into too many details, Dracula eats the fucking crew of the ship, essentially. So this is taking that idea and fleshing it out and getting a little bit more into things. And I liked it. I thought it was done really well. There's some really nice touches in there. And just overall, once again, a good story. Didn't apparently rate very high on fucking somebody's meta fucking thingy, but we're film reviewers, not critics, so screw that for a tub of spin. Up next, I suppose, as number two, would be Batman, the doom that came to Gotham. Why? Because I love Batman and I fucking love Lovecraft. And this was a version...
This was
basically the doom that came to Cardath? Kadesh? Haltween? Fuck, I can't remember what...
You'll do it better.
Can't remember what the fucking... Anyway, this is based on a Lovecraftian story, except it takes the notion and sticks it over in Gotham. And so you have Batman having to deal with a cult, which... You know, it's all the stuff that you know from Batman, but changed to make it fit Cthulhu. So instead of the League of Shadows, you have this Cthulhu cult, and instead of Abdul Al-Hazred, you have a fucking a Ra's al Ghul character. And what's interesting is that the story forces Bruce Wayne to confront what made him become Batman in the first place. And in a very Lovecraftian, you're all fucked twist, it turns out it's not his need to fight crime and to turn his fears against his enemies. No, it's the fact that an ancient god touched his brain and convinced him to be the avatar of the bat so that one day he could fuck off and deal with this other Cthulhu-like object that's going to invade his world. Because, not for humanity's sake, because if I can't fucking do it, neither can you, goddammit. I thought that was great.
Ah, the blended was beautiful.
To which? Oh, yeah, that was this fucking so much fun. So much fun. And finally, at number one, for me personally, because I thought it was a return to form, Evil Dead Rise. If I did not know that it was not directed by Sam Raimi, at times I would not know that it was not directed by Sam Raimi. As far as I'm concerned, it is the perfect continuation of the Evil Dead franchise. It is not the zaniness of Army of Darkness. It is not the hardcore fucking nihilism of the 2017, I want to say, Evil Dead movie. Or am I wrong about when that was? Probably earlier, 2013? So. The Evil Dead was the name of it, I think, when they brought it out. The Evil Dead. And bear in mind, fantastic movie, but you want to fucking strap in and be ready for some fucking
2013.
There we go. But yeah, not as nihilistic as that movie. You know, not as, it is as visceral, I suppose, but not as, you know, hardcore. Evil Dead Rise, in my opinion, happened to have the perfect sprinkling of off-the-wall comedy zaniness and gore-soaked, soul-wrenching terror The story itself is fucking heartrending when you think about it. The situation is fucking insane and fucking terrifying. And what happens is just a masterwork in, I don't want to say schlock horror, but it is, like I said, if I didn't know it wasn't directed by Sam Raimi, I wouldn't. The fact also that, technically speaking, it is in canon Evil Dead, because Ash goes dimension hopping and there are voices heard on a record. One of the voices in the background is definitely saying, don't fucking record the fucking Necronomicon, you mad fucking bastards. That voice has been confirmed to be Bruce Campbell being Bruce Campbell playing Ash Williams. So, which fits into the overall, if you know your Evil Dead stuff between the comics and the games and everything like that, he does, there's a lot of dimension hopping, so that fucking falls right in there. And
so much.
Yeah, I gotta say, that was the there's a lot of films that were down there that you know, the guys mentioned. There's one or two films like The Pope's Exorcist that I didn't mention and Unwelcome, just because they didn't pop into my head. I wanted
it was
because
one.
I wanted to get those ones done, I suppose.
There was one I wanted to do, but I couldn't remember, and when I looked it up, it fell into the where it registered on 2022 and 2023. Okay. It was at SISU.
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 Fucking brilliant film.
Oh, dude, I wanted to do that one, but I was like I said, when I looked it up, I was like, well, fuck, did we review that now or then? Like, and so when I looked it up, it was like, oh, well, it's got two release dates.
Shit, yeah, but most people wouldn't have seen it until 20.
Fuck, now I don't remember.
Most people wouldn't have seen it until 2023, so I'm happy to fucking. Sisu is, for those of you who haven't seen it, a donking good movie. So fucking good. It's
brutally fucking
yeah, it's
awesome.
Like, it's one of those films whereby less is more, and the main character doesn't talk until the end of the fucking film, and he is John Rambo fucking badass. Like, oh, they call him Kush fucking, what is it? Kushoye? A Russian name for, basically
remember.
It's a Russian name for an archetypical Russian character who's essentially unkillable. A hero who, it's not that he's unkillable, it's just a hero who refuses to die until his mission is done. That kind of a guy. Actually, I think in Legend,
that motherfucker lived it.
I think in Legend, he is properly immortal. It's the undead or the not dead. Oh, fuck. Something about his soul is buried, his soul is in an egg buried under a tree in the middle of the forest, or something like that. Yeah.
I will take your word for it on that.
But, great fucking film. Go watch Sisu if you haven't seen it. It's awesome. Anyway, are we wrapping things up there, I think? Buzz? Has your internet gone funny again?
There we go.
I'm trying to do...
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to. Well, if you're trying to do post stuff, then I'm going to look up words that are fucking annoying me. Because it's I had it in my head, and it's annoying me now, and it's just, it's fucking irritating me, because... where's the word? It is a word, isn't it? Fucking... Kushoy.
I'm so... like ready for
yeah Kushay, the immortal.
Oh, okay.
The deathless, that was the other translation. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like I said, forgetful me, I couldn't remember if we did that in 22 or 23, but it was just one of those movies, like, dude, it stuck with me. It was just that fucking good. And I was like, well, I can't remember when we did it.
I tell you,
so,
do you want to,
fuck it,
actually, I have three release dates here for release dates, and I have what seems to be the 2022 date is for a film festival, so we would have been good with 2023.
Okay, because it had a 23 release. I was just like, ah, fuck, man,
do,
they just don't seem
do you
want right
to know what
though.
Stuck with me, the music used in the trailer, which I went and tracked down. It's fucking brilliant.
Oh,
proper
yeah.
Fucking whoa, you know. But yeah, no, that's our. I think that our, if we're ready, I think that brings us to the end of our best of 2023 episode.
Sure.
You sound so depressed.
Yes. No, because I've had multiple people that I was going to bring up, and then they stopped streaming. At like.
Oh, okay. As long as it was nothing that we did.
No.
So I was kind of like, did you want to do more?
No. Like, people are they're
is, okay, is Sky on?
I found him. Okay. No, okay, I found right, somebody. Okay.
It wasn't with loads of good releases, though, Cags, but there were, like, the ones that were good were fucking solid.
Yeah, they're actually, to be fair, like I said, without even trying, I came up with 15, and I forgot about Sisu, and I fucking love Sisu.
Yeah.
Because, although, then again, I was focusing mainly on horror, and I kind of, a list came up, and I kind of had it filled, and then it was like, I don't need to look for more, so I got lazy. That was my fault.
Okay, I'm looking forward to Winnie the Pooh, too, but I'm not looking forward to the, Steamboat Willie.
Okay. On that nauseating, let's move on to getting the fuck out of here. The end of the show. So,
what?
Time for me to read things.
Did I just do?
I don't know. Cause not you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to make this do something and it's not doing what I wanted to do. What the hell? Go on, you're talking. Keep talking.
Oh, well, I don't know what you're needing to do is involves us not being able to do anything. Well, anywho, I found stuff for the end of the show like I do all the time. This time around, because it's past New Year's now, but it's New Year for us because it's the first show that we've done since the end of last year. I found some New Year's resolutions, and I guess it involves like for people who have kids. So, the first one I have is, I suppose you can never be too young to make. Oh my God, that blew up. Young to make New Year's resolutions. Today, my three-year-old had a tantrum because his waffles were too fluffy, and I guess he's determined to be my second favorite child.
Oh, you raised that one wrong if he's bitching about the fluffiness of a...
Exactly. Next one, my toddler's New Year resolution is to push every button, beep every beep, and make me lose the last shreds of sanity, patience, and scalp hair that's left to me. Happy New Year, my ass.
I hate to break to you, but that's every toddler's New Year's resolution. It's what they do.
Yeah.
Next up, I thought about setting a New Year's resolution to never yell at your kids, but I changed it to losing 50 pounds, training a baby elephant to read Shakespeare, and running a 100-mile ultra marathon while wearing a Donald Duck costume because I want a goal to be attainable.
Tristan, are you okay? Did you fall asleep or did the cat hit your keyboard? These are valid questions.
Yeah.
Or did the cat, hit the keyboard, wake you up?
I don't know, but, when I see stuff like that being typed in, I get legit worried.
I'm not on the page.
So giggity.
No, that's not.
I don't know where Tristan went with that one.
That looks like, GG. Yeah, that I think the cat walked across the keyboard, maybe. I hope, because that is in a line. So... Either that or she passed out.
Next
the keyboard.
One.
Right.
Next one. Taught my son about New Year's resolutions. He resolved to be a draft. Giraffe. Bleh. Two more. For 2024, I made a resolution to be the parent I always thought I'd be before I had kids. The first step would be getting rid of it.
Lastly,
anonymously, I asked kids age 6 to write New Year's resolutions. Here are some of favorites. First one, eat more butter. Next one, build a mud hut. Next, learn to drive. Next, try my hardest at everything but not maths. That must be next one up, make a new language.
Yeah.
I do that on every show basis when I just
Zooks slice my keyboard, but I may also be tired, so Okay, hey, just as long as that's, I kind of had a feeling that was it because it was in a straight line, so I was thinking a tail or a paw maybe. Sorry.
All we care
And
about is you're
lastly,
good.
yeah.
Am I good? Okay. And lastly, invent Google.
Bit late for that one.
And those are ones.
Invent? Yeah, I feel like that kid just.
Oh! No, 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 no. That's the most ambitious kid yet, because first he has to invent time travel.
Wow, that kid went above and beyond. All right. Shit. That's the motherfucker you got to worry about. Oh.
Never let him meet Skynet.
Okay. Okay. No shit.
Anyway, so those are somebody else's New Year's resolutions.
He's the reason for fucking Skynet.
What? What's wrong?
Nothing.
Okay. You're getting worse than me with your random fucking swearing.
No, I just.
I'm Irish. I
had an email that I don't know.
I'm fucking
if it
Irish.
Was
I've got a fucking excuse. I don't know.
Deleted.
I'm doing it half the fucking time.
I don't know. I deleted an email that I did. I don't know. Fuck it. I don't care.
It's still in the out or the fucking delete box or whatever the fuck, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Trash. Thank you.
I don't care. It probably wasn't. Hopefully.
Okay. Now are we? Now
Actually,
are we finished? Okay.
Yeah. I believe so.
Right. So hopefully.
Oh, I worry about that fucking kid. I'm now scared of the future.
Oh, good grief.
Well, I was already scared of the future before I read that. Article, so or no news bit or whatever the fuck you're referring to.
Anyway, on those terrifying resolutions and revelations, we're going to bring this show to an end before anything else goes fucking wrong. Yes. Thank you everybody for joining us. Sorry things got a bit echoey a while ago. I have no idea what caused it, but since it didn't happen again, I'm going to just go ahead and blame Kick, to be perfectly honest, because that hasn't happened before, so I'm blaming Kick. And if it happens again, I'm going to still blame Kick because it's not.
Or OBS.
Shut up. I was just about to say, or anything else, because it.
Kick, I can't.
Yeah, thank
control.
You, but character gets it.
OBS, you can't control either.
But sure, I can. I just have
when
to.
Wants to do a
sure,
thing.
I can. I just have to teach, you know, Hunter how to make fucking or chloroform bombs for you. Anyway, No, he's worried. Anyway, so as always, thank you everybody for watching. We shall of course be back Thursday night, where we intend on reviewing some brand spanking new movies, because Buzz was a very good boy and went along and got us some screeners for Christmas, so we're going to get stuck into them. We shall of course be back Sunday night for more community gamings, probably Smash Cart, since we were loving it so much before the new year, unless someone comes up with a new idea. Buzz, I'm looking at you, because you said you had an idea a while ago, and I'm not going to lie, I've already forgotten what it was. What?
I don't remember having an idea.
Excellent,
but okay.
I'm off the hook for not remembering either.
Oh, we're killing it.
I'm not
going to
take
year.
Forgetting. I'm not going to take that. No. Also, the movies we will be reviewing is Hellhounds, Roadkill, and Scalper. That's why I had to pull up an email, because I wanted to get the names.
If you lost that email, I could see why you were going to get pissed off. Yeah. Yeah, so as I said, thank you everybody for watching. We should be back same gore time, same gore channel. Sure. Sorry, I nearly fell into my metal show.
We're always on
Dude,
podcast.
I nearly said same metal fucking mindset, same metal spirit, because I'm so used to saying that for the metal show. Anyway, as I said, we'll be back next week. For now, though, we are going to jump over to...
So, in kind of going on what we did towards the end of the year, trying to bless some... people who have not a lot of followers to try to get their counts up. And I went to the lethal company category because it seems to get some fun people. And we got Beth C. B-E-T-H. You're playing lethal company.
B-E-T-H.
C-E-E.
C-E-E.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to jump over to Betsy. Feel free to say hello from all of us here in the GoCast, and we hope to see all of you the next time we are on, which will be Thursday night, as we are going to be reviewing the movies that Buzz listed out a while ago. And for now, I suppose I'm just going to say that I'm saying bye-bye, gentlemen.
Oh, shit. What? Hold on. Don't go anywhere
oh,
yet.
Oh, for frack's sake.
Did you put a thing? Oh, shit. Jesus H. Christ. Did you put a thing in check?
Carter did that 20 minutes ago.
I did, but it's been a second. Yeah. No, he's right there. We've been talking, so I dropped a new one in. My bad.
I got it.
Can I press buttons now?
Yeah. Oh, not yet. Just give me 2 seconds.
Where's the fucking airlock?
Press the buttons.
Okay, go.
All right, I'm going to press buttons. We'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody. Say hi to Betsy from us. And,
2024, fuck it up.
Oh, for fuck's sake. It has begun.